Greetings. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Welcome to Grace Baptist Church. And again, that portion of time that we devote to what we call Sunday school, a Bible study. And I pray that it complements what our pastor brings each week. I need to make a correction before I begin today's study, a correction of something I said last week. I said that Christians' bodies do not decay. Now, of course, in my mind, I was thinking of our glorified bodies, though I did not make that clear at that time. Just a few moments later, I did speak of the Christian's body when resurrected will be incorruptible because it will be a glorified body. It will not decay. So if some of you heard that statement I made out of context, please forgive me and realize again, if we die as Christians, our bodies, our human bodies will decay. But when Christ resurrects us, we'll have a glorified body, incorruptible and eternal. Before I begin the message today, also, I would like to make a note about what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to spiritualize a number of the texts, which very well could be taken literally. This serves, my spiritualizing, serves as a secondary application of some scriptures, and I pray that they will be of some profit to you as I spiritualize them. Today, we're going to deal with the abomination of desolation. And we're going to begin this message, as we so often do, with a close look at what our key words mean. The abomination of desolation. The Old Testament word for the text we will view concerning abomination means idolatrous filth, filthy idol, abomination, idolatrous filth, a filthy idol. Any idol is filth. It is abomination. Worshipping an idol is abomination. I'm going to read from Nahum chapter 3, and may I plead with you, listen as I read. Please don't try to follow these texts throughout this message. I'm going to do some skipping again, as I often do. So listen, I'll tell you the text. You can go back and read it later for yourself. I'm reading from Nahum chapter 3. The woe of Nineveh. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. They stumble over the corpses because of the multitude of whoredoms of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations through her harlotries or whoredoms, and families through her sorceries. Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will cast abominable filth upon you, make you vile, and make you a spectacle. That scripture sounds a whole lot like a scripture we're going to look at in the Revelation in a later part of the message. Not that much later, though. The New Testament word, translated abomination, is an exact reflection of the Old Testament meaning. Abomination in the New Testament means a devastation, specifically idolatry. Look it up in your Strong's. To quote from Strong's, the constant association with idolatry suggests that what is highly esteemed among men constitutes an idol in the human heart. I'm going to repeat that. The constant association with idolatry suggests that what is highly esteemed among men constitutes an idol in the human heart. That being true, I want to add what Christ said in Luke chapter 16, verse 15. And he said this to those who justified themselves before humanity. Luke 16, 15. What is highly esteemed among human beings is an abomination in the sight of God. It is idolatry, idol worship. And may I also note from that particular verse to whom Christ was speaking, and we want to look at the object of their worship, which they idolized. Now, this may surprise you. I know I've read this a number of times, never really noticed it closely enough. The verse before, the one we just read, Luke 16, 14. Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money. Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. They derided Christ, which means that they turned up their noses in arrogance. Now, those false religionists, and that's what they were lovers of money. Now, we're going to see that that is at the center of the abomination of desolation. It's not the abomination of desolation, but it's right at the heart of it. Reading a literal translation from 1 Timothy 6:10, first part of that verse, root of all the evils is the love of money. You could say a root. Root can refer metaphorically to cause, origin, source. Cause of all the evils is the love of money. And we must not forget, and I think most people realize this, with money comes power. I'm going to be looking at and reading from the Revelation chapter 17. Listen up now, and remember I told you about Nahum earlier. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, John the apostle, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, friend, what do we call wine and drink such as that? Spirits. Spirits. And this very text has to do with spirits, with the wine of her fornication. And that is going to be seen in idolatry. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead, a name was written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Now, friends, I'm here right away to tell you that we're talking about an evil spirit here. I know it's going to be called a city, but it represents an evil spirit. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. We'll be coming back later to look at some verses following that. Our next word, we've looked at abomination. Our next word to be considered is desolation. Our Old Testament word means to make desolate, which in turn means to devastate, and horribly so. A horrible devastation. And you know what that is when we speak in biblical terms? It is a desecration. To spoil that which is holy. Desecration. Our New Testament word, translated desolation, means that someone or something pure has been utterly ruined. When we speak of the, now listen, this is the definition. When we speak of the abomination of desolation, as seen in the Holy Scriptures, we are referring to blasphemous idolatry which desecrates the true worship of God. Repeat. The abomination of desolation as seen in the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, means blasphemous idolatry which desecrates the true worship of God. Abomination of desolation, even abomination of desecration. I'm going to be looking at Mark chapter 13 and reading a number of verses. Again, please don't turn there. Listen. You can always go back and check it later. But please listen. Be instructed. I'm creating a narrative here, as I so often do or try to do. This is Christ speaking. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. The abomination of desolation standing where it ought not, standing in the place belonging to God and God alone, sovereign of the universe. That is abomination of desolation. For in those days there will be tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time, nor shall ever be. I want us to look to the Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And consider this great tribulation and how it should be applied accurately. And again, remember, I am spiritualizing this. The Bible is a spiritual book, folks. All these things I looked, excuse me, After these things, John the Apostle, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number. A great multitude which no one could number. I stand here before you and tell you that is all of God's elect. Not as it would have to be applied in this context if there is this so-called tribulation, great tribulation, that happens for a certain period of years. I just don't believe there's going to be a great number which no one could number that comes out of that particular time. This is speaking of all of God's elect, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." All the elect of God. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" Again, I'm taking the position this is all the elect of God. And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation." And literally, that reads, "the tribulation, the great." And folks, I again say, that's the Christian life, the great tribulation. Now, in Hebrews, we can see all the way back to the New Testament, great tribulation, Old Testament saints, the tribulations that they went through. These are some great tribulations. Listen, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two, were tested, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth. Now, folks, those are some great tribulations. Back to Revelation chapter 7, and again repeating the first part of verse 14. So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the tribulation, the great, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Which of God's elect don't do that? This is true of every Christian. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living waters, living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Again, folks, this is true of all Christians, all of God's elect. Now back to Mark chapter 13 and repeating verse 19, for in those days, what we were just speaking of, the days of great tribulation, the Christian life, there will be tribulation such as not been. Now listen to this closely, because you're going to think I'm going to run into all kinds of problems here. Which have not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. Until this time, when you see the abomination of desolation. When was the first time we saw abomination of desolation? Folks, we had glimpses of that with Adam and Eve, who were told they could be like God. Now, again, it appears that God saved them, but folks, the very first child born to humanity, Cain, the abomination of desolation is clearly seen in Cain, who was his own God. So, since that time, okay, folks, until that time when we saw the first parts of the abomination of desolation, it started way back in the beginning. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Now, what does that remind you of? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Folks, when God tests you and puts you in a very tough place, he gives you the ability to make it through. You will not fall away. He, in the shortening of days, which would be an example of what God does for us when we are tried with great tribulation. And if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, here he is there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, see, I have told you all these things beforehand. Folks, when you enter into the trials and tribulation of the Christian life and you long for the coming of Christ, listen to these scriptures. But in those days after that tribulation, after the tribulation of the Christian life, what does that make you think of? Well, for me, immediately, I would think, well, all of the elect have come to repentance. Again, he speaks of those days after that tribulation. We're looking at, in essence, I believe, 2 Peter 3:9. And it's interesting, if you'll look at the context of 2 Peter 3:9, up in verse 4 of chapter 3, Peter is answering the question, where is the promise of his coming? And Peter responds with, the Lord is not slow concerning promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I've explained this one to you many, many times, grammatically speaking. God is patient toward us, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. And folks, for God's elect, that is exactly what will occur. But friends, there's going to be a time when the last one is called to repentance among God's elect. And in that day, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. The last day. After Christians have completed their journey, the great tribulation of the Christian life. Now, I want us to see what happens to what we talked about a little bit earlier, see what happens to those who are lovers of money, because I just told you that that is at the center of this abomination of desolation, abomination of desecration, idol worship and not worshiping God. Also mentioned earlier when we were looking to Revelation 17, the evil spirit which serves idolatrous lust. Revelation chapter 18. Once again, may I ask you, listen, please listen as I read, and I am going to be skipping again through these scriptures. I'm reading just a bit from 17 to get us to 18. There were 10 kings. They will hate this whore, Mystery Babylon the Great, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his purpose. God using his enemies to bring about his final will. And the woman you saw is that great city. And remember, I said this represents an evil spirit or even evil spirits, which reigns over the kings of the earth. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird, which represents evil spirits. For all the nations have drunk the wine, the spirits of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. This blasphemous idolatry of worshiping other than the one true God. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Again, calling us to look at lovers of money. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Folks, the people of God have no business in being tied up with the pursuit after riches and the love of money and the love of power. My goodness, look at our country today, folks. Our politics and the media, it's all driven by profit and the love of money. If you want to find out who's guilty in all these matters, follow the money. That's just the truth of the matter. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself. There it is. There it is. A spirit of worshiping yourself. That's standing where you ought not be standing. It's the worship of anything other than the one true God. She glorified herself and lived luxuriously, excuse me. Again, showing the comforts of these riches. In the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. Oh, my friend, the Bible warns against seeking after riches, for it will only yield torment and sorrow at the last day. You may do well in this life, as we know it here on earth, but come the last day, there's going to be a reckoning and torment and sorrow. And she says in her heart, I sit as queen, just like the so-called man of sin who sat in the temple as God, and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Everything's good. Look, I've got this money. Everything is fine. I've got money. I've got power. I'm not going to see any sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. Now listen to this. They're going to come in one day. And she will be death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Friends, where it says strong, it means almighty. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her. They've lost what they have. This spirit is being killed, being taken away. They will weep with her, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city. And remember, I spoke of that one day, will come in one day. And look what part of the day we speak of. For in 1 hour, your judgment has come. Remember, it may have been in last week's message or the one before that I told you about, there may be many hours of reckoning. And by that, I mean in reference to a day. And we see that here. Here's another hour spoken of. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you. And you shall find them no more at all. God's putting an end to that. And it's interesting that he has the very ones involved in it bringing an end to it. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, such riches came to nothing. Folks, this spirit is squelched. It's put away with. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like that great city. Think of what we had. Think about these folks who came out of Egypt and looked back on what they had in Egypt, longing for it, and only suffered the judgment of God. They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate." Folks, what the Lord God does on this last day is done quickly. Done quickly. Rejoice over her. Who would rejoice over her? O heaven, and holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Folks, we're speaking of the last day. Immediately in the scriptures, we see this. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." Again, this is more evidence of the last day. Again, they said, "Her smoke arises forever and ever." And the 24 elders and four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen. So be it. Alleluia." Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Then he said to me, and again, that's, I know, our major righteousness, which we stand before God with, folks, is the righteousness of Christ that is represented in those white robes, the fine linen. Then he said to me, "Write, blessed those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." A lot of Bible reading there, I realize that. The abomination of desolation was definitely seen in Cain, the first child of humanity. His actions proved his blasphemous idolatry. And at the center of that was self-worship, which desecrates the true worship of God. The abomination of desecration. And from that time, humanity, through all history, has committed this horrible blasphemy against God. To add insult to injury, humankind are prone to be lovers of money, things, stuff, wealth. Think of our so-called churches today and the health and wealth gospel. An abomination of desecration, folks. When have you ever seen, when we talk about people being lovers of money, when have you ever seen someone turn down a gift of a great sum of money and the power that it will give them. I can't think of an instance in my own life when I've seen that. But we certainly have seen countless examples of what people will do for money and its power. Folks, look at all these lotteries out there today that are so-called institutions to make money for education. Goodness gracious, my goodness. Politics and power brokers, politics and power brokers run our present world. The love of money and power, robbing God of his glory. God is in none of their thoughts. Not the true God. I'm going to leave you. I close now. I'm going to leave you with two scriptures pertinent to protecting us from the abomination of desolation, the abomination of desecration. These are brief. Please listen closely, though. From the mouth of God to the minds of men, put down in the scriptures, we have this. 1 John 5:21. So simple, but something we must keep in mind. Little children, keep yourselves, guard yourselves from idols. Amen. The word amen is there. So be it. Do it. Guard yourselves. Keep yourselves from idols. Now, looking back to that verse that we read literally in 1 Timothy chapter 6, root of, cause of, source of all the evils is the love of money. Two verses following that say this: but you, O man of God, and we understand that means you and I as well, men, women, Christians, all the elect, but you flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold, hold firmly to, grasp eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I pray it's not just a profession, but a way of life for you and I to guard us from the abomination of desolation. Amen.